Welcome. You're tuned to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is PRN. I'm Catherine, your host for this program, and I welcome you. For those of you who might be wondering what that tune was that you heard at the top of the program, it is called Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark, and it's from the CD Spiritual High. And I'm going to open this program, as I usually do, with a bit of a commentary and hopefully some direction and inspiration with that commentary. But we're going to have a very interesting program today. We're going to be talking about, with our guests, how we can come together as a globe of people and begin to pull our resources and our energies and our forces and our activities together to make change in the world. I wanted to also talk to you about what we can do within ourselves to make change in the world. I'm very much in tune with our vibration, our energies, our fields of energy. We have so many systems of energy within our body, starting with the very substance of our being. In that, on the atomic level, we are electric. And when you get into smaller gradations of our existence, we really become pure consciousness. And there's a real power in bringing that connection to that source consciousness, that flow of that element, that entity, however you might think of it, that created the substance of reality. It's a very powerful force. And when we align ourselves with it, we become very powerful creators. And one of the things that makes it possible for us to do this is to really begin to be very mindful of our being and be very mindful of our connection to all that is. And if I were to describe existence using movies, I suppose I would use, as many of us would, the movie The Matrix in terms of this structure, this grid of dominance that seems to control our lives. But at the same time, this reality doesn't seem to be, as real as we might think it is. It's really a function of perception. And so what we can do is begin to recognize that there's an aspect of ourselves that exists in another state or another place, another realm, just as it was depicted in The Matrix. However, it isn't so much like the body is entrapped and the mind is just being exercised in this matrix. It's more the other way around. The body is moving around in the matrix, and our mind is the thing that's being controlled. When the mind is controlled, then the life, your body, your life stream is being controlled. So there is this mid-level of historical control that we've been acclimatized to through basic programming, religion, politics, and just hundreds of thousands of years of culture of control. But the way to get beyond that is to make a connection to the part of ourselves that is more the avatar self. So if you look at that other movie, The Avatar, you see this traveler is in a spaceship and he enters this electrically stimulating vehicle and sends his consciousness down into the physical body, which is not really his essential core being. So that is a little bit in the relationship of how we are related to each other. And then if you have to take it another step higher, because in truth it's not body to body. That avatar self is more the higher self, that aspect of our being that lives in a more refined realm of energy and consciousness. But there's a very direct connection between that higher self and our own lives. And then the other way to think about this is that when you also look at Avatar, and when the Na'vi are traveling in their world, in their forests and in their lands, they have this concept of the trees being all connected into one consciousness, and the roots are all derivative of one existence. And so there's communication in this life. So even though the tree is rising into the world, underneath the surface, it's really all one being. all one consciousness, all one communication. And in that way, humanity can think of ourselves as being all of one being. And so the objective is to bypass the matrix of control, and that's control of your mind, your thoughts, your reactions to your life, and begin to open up that pathway for this elevated consciousness, which is also a part of you, to flow down and find its way into your active awareness. And what we are going to do in this next few moments is just to really take a few moments to just breathe into yourself and breathe into your heart. And this is a way of really activating that connection, because the connection comes through the heart-mind, which is a much larger consciousness than the region of the heart, the region of our physical brain and mind. It's really the consciousness within which our whole being exists. But the portal through which that information comes into our awareness is through our heart. And when that awareness comes through the heart, there's a component of intuitive feeling that allows you to begin to get into touch with it. And beyond that, it is the more open your channels become, the more powerful the voice of that higher self or avatar self can be within your life stream, within your experience. And that's when, and this higher or avatar self, because it's a more refined vibrational aspect of your being, it has a much broader perspective on what's happening within your life, what's happening around you, what's happening in the communities and relationships, and what drama is being played out, as well as is capable of, through that spiritual realm, sort of shifting things on your behalf if you can listen to the wisdom you're being given. And that's where it really becomes important to connect into the higher self through that heart channel, through that heart wisdom. And the other thing that I want you to think about is that as we get connected, root ourselves into the human consciousness, root ourselves into the consciousness of Gaia, and root ourselves into the consciousness of this higher plane of our own existence, we become much more powerful human beings, and we begin to have a much more powerful impact in the direction of our lives, as well as the direction of the world in which we live. And we can begin to refine ourselves and bring ourselves more and more in alignment with this union of existence, this union of being, the union of the totality, and coming through your individualized consciousness. So it's really important to do that. And it's also important to take time to really embrace, on an energetic level, the human beings around us, the planet, by really opening your heart and sending energy and healing energy through your intention and awareness into these aspects of our being. And another thing that we can do is really focus our attention on those areas of the world that need the most help. And by that, it could be these areas of conflict. It could be the areas of war and areas where people's rights are being compromised, or people are really out there pressing and demanding justice and demanding that they are able to live in as free sovereign beings. We can direct our energy into that part of our grid, because we're all one, we're all connected. And as we collectively focus that energy, it really does bring a higher vibration into that field, into that situation, and can have a positive impact. And another really important thing that we can do is to, you know, bring some of these negative forces into a greater containment. And in that way, it's like visualizing a light chamber. And you would say, for instance, if we wanted to, and this is something I got from Gabriel, but it's if we built a light chamber, a topaz blue, four walls, a square with light above and below so that the radiance of divine energy can flow through. And we invite beings who essentially want to be healed and essentially are not in understanding of their what's going into the reason that they cause harm and mayhem in the world. And I'm working on a particular project where I'm inviting all beings who are causing harm to the feminine energies, the divine feminine, to women, to children, to gays, to albinos, you know, people who are persecuted because of who they are. I want those persecutors, and I'm inviting those people who engage in those kind of horrific activities into the healing chamber so that they can be a higher vibration of light can be focused into their beings, and they can come to that inner realization that they can make a significant difference and that they would be in a much higher state of being when they can resolve and let go of those tendencies. And so the purpose is not to hate on people or to be destructive or allow people's destructive behavior to invite you to be equally destructive, because energetically that takes things out into a worse direction. But what we can do is we can send that light, invite these souls into that healing chamber. It's a visualization, but energy is real, and it becomes a real force for transformation within the world. And it's something that we can all do. Another thing we can do is go into our meditation and visualize ourselves outside the planet, as if the planet were small and between our hands. And we could just send that loving energy from our hearts, through our arms, and through our palms, and just send that love into the earth. And it's really important for us to do all we can to preserve the precious earth. And I must say, this is an energetic tool. These are energetic tools, but we also have to take concrete action within our lives and actually do things to make a difference and actually campaign and do the letter writing. And if it's standing in the streets or in front of a corporate office, or if it's boycotting products, or if it's, we have to approach it from both perspectives. And I anticipate I'll be having a guest shortly who will be able to talk more to the things that we can do in the world and how we can begin to unite and support each other in making positive, transformative change. I will be back in a moment. We're going to take a brief musical break, and we will continue with today's program. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN. I'm Catherine, and joining me is Rick Ulfick. And Rick Ulfick is a tireless activist, and he has been doing much to change the world. And he is representing an organization called We the World.
Hello.
Hello, Rick. You are on the air and live with myself and our listeners here on Heart of Mind Radio. Welcome to Heart of Mind.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you.
Thank you. And I have started to do an introduction of your work with We the World and 11 Days of Global Unity, but I think you could probably do a better job of telling us about We the World and the 11 Days of Global Unity.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. My name is Rick Ulfick. I'm the founder of We the World and the We campaign at we.net. And basically, We the World develops global networks of collaboration and action to build a mass involvement of people in the work of creating a peaceful, caring, and sustainable world. Our advisors and supporters have included Nobel Peace Laureate Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Jane Goodall, Deepak Chopra, Daniel Ellsberg, Marianne Williamson, Bill McKibben, Robert Thurman, Barbara Mox Hubbard, Hazel Henderson, and many, many others, dozens of others. So one of the big things that we've done over the years has been to create something called 11 Days of Global Unity. And we launched that with our global partners in 2004. Desmond Tutu made a special video, and many of the other supporters, including Jane Goodall, became honorary co-chairs of the launch, including the Secretary General of Amnesty International, along with many of the other folks. And it has become a worldwide convergence of festivals, concerts, forums, rallies, other kinds of programs promoting peace, justice, sustainability, and transformation. Mm-hmm. And annually, we have as many as 700 associated events in over 60 countries. The 11 days goes from September 11th through September 21st, the International Day of Peace. However, the 11 themes that are associated with the 11 days take place year-round, and they have become 11 campaigns, basically. And I'll just give you a sense of these. If you want to start to get involved, anybody listening wants to get involved, they can go to we.net/11themes, and you'll see all of them there. But basically, they are unity, interdependence, environment, economic justice, health, children and youth, women, human rights, freedom, disarmament, and peace. So under each of those, we have very specific goals, and we have hundreds of partners who have basically pledged to work in alignment with the 11 days and the 11 themes, doing their particular missions. And these partners are from all over the world, you know, from Zambia to San Francisco, many in New York, and all over.
Well, that's really very, very promising. Can you give us an idea of what some of the projects are that are being worked on right now?
Sure. Let's pick one of the themes. Under environment, for example, the idea of promoting investment in renewable, non-polluting energy systems and fuels, that's a very important one. And something that We the World is involved in right now is bringing solar power to the poorest families in Guatemala. And there are several partners involved in this. The idea is to bring a very compact solar power unit that can light up a lamp and provide some other electricity to people who don't even have electricity in Guatemala. So it's kind of like making a quantum leap. So they don't even have to plug into the grid. They'll begin to have access to renewable power.
I imagine that there are a lot of people in this country who would like to have that device. Is it available widely?
It's not that available widely, but it is available. If anyone wants to get in touch with me about this, they can write info@wetheworld.org, and we can take questions about it.
Okay.
But it's an important concept, and we're working on integrating various kinds of help, basically, for these poor families, so they can become self-sufficient and begin to, for example, learn how to do maintenance on these solar units and actually start up businesses, you know, training people to do that. So there's a microfinance component as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very exciting. But it's just one example of what's going on.
Well, yeah, that is very exciting. And I know that that you recently sent out an announcement for the launching of a new campaign, which looks to be a resurgence of the Occupy movement called Wave of Action. Can you give us any information on that?
Yes, it was very interesting. So I've been participating in organizing calls that have been set up by someone named David DeGraw and his partners. He was one of the key organizers behind Occupy Wall Street. And so he's teamed up with activists around the world to launch the worldwide Wave of Action. And if people want to find out what's going on, they can go to waveofaction.org. So there are going to be launch celebrations at former Occupy locations in cities around the U.S. and in other countries as well. And there are many activities going on here in New York City as well. I believe so that there are going to be people, a lot of self-organizing going on, and it's really decentralized, keeping with the Occupy concept of, you know, like a leaderless movement. I urge people who have been wondering what's been going on with Occupy to check this out. It may very well be a resurgence. Of course, Occupy has been doing many things since we kind of left, heard that they were being ousted from their encampments. For example, Occupy Sandy did a lot of work in the New York region after the storm hit, the superstorm Sandy hit.
Yeah, I remember that. And so they really hung in there for a long time.
They did things that even FEMA was not able to do to help people with their homes. And then there's also been a whole movement called Occupy the Debt, mm-hmm. where Occupy has been raising funds and actually buying people's debt. You know, there are investors who buy debt on pennies on the dollar, and then they try to force the people who owe money on their mortgages and things like that to pay the full amount, and they make a lot of money. So Occupy has actually been doing some work in that area too, to mm-hmm. buy the debt, but then not the debt of these people who have lost their homes and that kind of thing.
Well, that's really good, and I think maybe it's necessary to have another wave of action, because there needs to be more participation. I remember when I was, when there was like a real focus on Wall Street, and seeing the brutalization of the young people and some older people who were just peacefully, making their positions heard. And with the shrinking of the dollar value and perhaps there will be more people who think that there's a problem. So I'm hoping that that's the case, and the crowds will grow and the participation will grow. But one of the things that people can do is to spread the word about Worldwide Wave of Action at waveofaction.org, and they have something with a hashtag wave of action.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
so people can use that as a way of putting that information and spreading the word. And it's a 3-month cycle of nonviolent rallies, actions, and events. So I thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Certainly.
Something that I said made you wear a frown. The way you hang your head has made the tears come down. But don't you wear a sigh, my beautiful child. You know it doesn't burn when you touch the sun, so don't be concerned.
You're tuned to PRN on the Internet Radio. I'm Catherine, and this program is Heart of Mind Radio. And we are here to examine ourselves and examine the issues that have an impact on our lives and also, I think, on the larger communities and the world, because it's the changes that we make individually that have an impact on the people around us and the culture and societies in which we live. So it's always important to think about how we are doing in the world, how we are experiencing our body and our life. And this program really hopes to contribute to that well-being and that expression, that full expression of yourself through your creative work, through your employment or businesses, and also through your relationships. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of you who came to visit us at the New Life Expo. I did a lecture on vibrational intelligence, and the turnout was really so excellent. I was very heartened and gratified by your support, and so I just wanted to thank you for that. One of the interesting things about this lecture, I filmed it, so I went home and I watched it again, and I really felt that it was very much in flow, and I think that the information was quite good. So in a few days, I'm going to be putting it up online so that people can go back and look at it, or maybe if you missed it, you'll be able to go back and look at the lecture. One of the things that I found really interesting about that talk is I was talking about how important it is to embrace your feelings, whatever those feelings might be. And I used an example of anger in the sense that it's one of those emotions that often cause us to feel a sense of judgment against ourselves simply for allowing that state of anger. But I think it's really important for us to allow whatever feelings come through for us, because those feelings are a way of understanding what's happening in our bodies, what's happening in our lives. So the objective is not to condemn being angry or condemn being fearful, though we want to stay out of those emotions. We want to learn how to circumvent or live without, or to be able to be less affected by these things. But, you know, it's just human nature that we're going to be angry, that we're going to feel jealousy, that we're going to have all of these feelings that we're taught to judge in a negative way. And what I think that the real objective in dealing with our feelings is to allow the feeling without reacting to the feeling. And that's one of the things I just wanted to offer as a bit of an update, that it's important to not project that anger onto the other person or the situation and then be reactive to that person or that situation, because that usually leads into an escalation. You get angry, someone else, you say something to someone without thinking, then they get angry, and then, you know, things begin to escalate, and that's how conflict develops in our lives and in the world. So it's important when you're feeling that anger is to go inside of yourself and ask yourself what it is that you are responding to. If you're angry, why is it? Why are you angry? And so sometimes you have to think, well, am I really angry at that person, or am I angry at myself? I know sometimes when I'm in a situation, I will have a signal or a warning, some intuitive hit that will say to me, you know, this situation is not really bound to work out, or this is really not your best choice at this moment. And then, you know, with my thinking mind, I'll go on and say, yeah, but this is really what I want, so I'm going to push through it, I'm going to pursue it, and I'm going to involve myself in this relationship or this situation, and, you know, I'll see how it turns out. And we do go ahead, and sometimes it, you can work through and it'll be fine, but there are times when it doesn't. And I find that when I have gone against my intuition and got involved in something, some situation, I always find myself being more annoyed with myself for not having followed that intuitive hit. And so what I've come to realize is that when we get these emotions, or when we get this flash of intuition, it's really a form of communication. And when we pay attention to these things, we can navigate our lives just a bit better than when we don't pay attention to it, because we can circumvent some of the problems that we are facing. Or even though we may choose to go through those problems, we'll be better informed on what some of the mitigating circumstances are, and then we can work through it in a different way. And so when you find yourself feeling angry at something, a situation, a person, always look into yourself and say to yourself, why am I angry? What is this doing? What is this anger telling me about myself? And when you approach yourself with that kind of input, with that kind of questioning, it allows you to navigate your feelings much better, and they become more a message than a invocation of a response. So I think it can be very powerful when we do that. And so I want you to pay attention to those inner signs, those inner feelings, and I want you to be able to not bring judgment to it, to just be very compassionate with yourself, be very loving with yourself, and just use any expression that you have or inner experience that you have as a signpost. as a way of moving into a state of deeper self-examination. And today's program, we're going to be talking a little bit more about this with my guest, Konstantin Trifonov. And we're going to be talking about a specific dialogue approach for systems emergence. And I want you to stay tuned for that. We're going to be learning a little bit more about this dialogue approach. And we're going to be learning a little bit more about an opportunity for you to meet and interact with Konstantin Trifonov. So stay tuned and we'll be back in just a moment. And joining me on today's program is Konstantin Trifonov. And Konstantin is a MD, with a master in psychology, and he's also a licensed acupuncturist. He's visiting us from Moscow, Russia, and we're going to be talking about this healing modality, which I consider to be revolutionary, the dialogue approach for systems emergence, or DAS, D-A-S-E. And what this does is it allows us to develop techniques to dialogue with our inner being. And when we can do that, we can find those aspects that are running our life or giving us, you know, the control of our life, or they may be aspects that are actually ruining our life, that are heading us down the wrong path. And we find ourselves repeating these patterns over and over again. And Constantine is going to be giving a talk. It'll be an introduction and demonstration. And he's doing a full-day workshop on developing these tools. But first, I wanted to welcome you, Constantine Trifonov, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Thank you, Kathy, and good morning for you again and for the listeners. And, you know, I'm happy to be back with you and for this opportunity to share, you know, this sort of understanding, these ideas, this sort of stream of thinking, if you want, stream of feeling with, again, with you and with our listeners.
Thank you very much for that. I thought it would be interesting to first talk a little bit about your journey in this process, because you started out as a medical doctor and you're also a licensed acupuncturist, but you're doing this new approach, this dialogue approach for systems emergence. What is it about being an MD that you found the need to take this other path?
Well, that's a good question. Well, first of all, I should say personally that I raised up in a very medical family. So, I mean, all my both parents, my grannies, except for one, they all were doctors or is doctors. So, and, you know, since being a young kid, you know, I think nothing but about going to medical school, which has actually happened. And, you know, it was great time. And what prompted me to start this journey that, you know, either in medicine, there's always this sort of like, I don't know how to put it, like you need to do this in order to get that. So it's always like in conditional state, you know, if you want to be healthy, go and run, or, you know, do this pill, so, I don't know, do this exercise, or, you know, eat clean food. I don't know, you know, many different conditions. But reality is that it's really, you know, it's just a very great task. You know, it's like some may say, you know, open your hearts, you know, to life, open your hearts to health. Well, I would love to do it, but I have no idea how to do it, or I cannot do it, or, you know, I'm doing it, but eventually it comes up that it's absolutely, you know, not what the person who talked to me expect me to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all this sort of funny stuff happens. And we don't have a lot of time. I mean, talk for hours about my journey and how it's happened. Excuse me. How I, you know, decided, apart from doing MD, you know, to searching for something else, and I went through many different type of sort of medical approaches. Like, well, I did acupuncture, I did homeopathy, I did manual practices, a lot of stuff, and eventually, you know, just, as you said, intuitively, being guided intuitively, I came and meet this man whose name is Salahin Tom. He now lives in Russia, and we're working together there. But who actually gave me the foundation of what am I doing now? He actually the one who provided the foundation. So my great respect and, you know, thanks for him. But now I'm sort of trying to go sort of slightly beyond it, which is about sort of help people, second of all, myself also, to use this, as we call it, tools, I mean, it says here, tools, which allow us to, as humans, to actually step-by-step emerge from where we are. And this emergence happens in many different levels. It's, you know, like, at material level, you know, which is about, you know, our sort of present state, our priorities. It's, you know, our feelings level, to improve our feelings, our emotions, our physiology, if you want. And, you know, the way we do things, the way we think, if you like, the so how wide our thinking is, and, you know, our ability to have independent thinking, and eventually sort of open ourselves to our potential, i.e. to something which is not exist yet. So we may think about it, but we may not know what it is, what's our potential. I mean, we may have some intuitive feeling, this or that, but actually we don't know what it is. And so far. So that's quite a wide range of things which we are working with at the moment.
Okay, well, that really says a lot, and I think it's fairly rare, though we do have a lot of complementary physicians in the world, and, you know, these days. I remember when there wasn't so many. But and I think, though, that your journey has taken it far beyond where most physicians have gone I've had any contact with, and that you're really looking at humanity and the people that you're working with at a very, very refined kind of structural level in terms of breaking it out into the various facets of their being. So you can be looking at their physical structure and their DNA and what they might be carrying within that, and then the emotions and what emotions might be in their system that is either helping or blocking them. And then there's this other aspect of it where you're speaking of a person from the perspective of their nature, you know, like if it's an animal nature, a human nature, a plant nature, or I think it would be royal would be the other. Could you explain what these different natures are?
Okay, so first of all, it's quite tricky because we're not an animals, for example, or not a plants. So this, you know, this sort of the structure or the hierarchy, actually, of natures, which might be described as, you know, all of us, say, each of us, our listeners and us too, we all have history behind us, right? It's just everything which happened just until now. This morning is a history already. Okay, we all have it, and everything beyond that. So we all have our structure, you know, our bodies, our organs, our tissues. So there is our structure, and there is sort of the state of the structure describes our present moment. It's like material present moment state. So on the top of it, we all have our feelings, physiology, our, you know, the way we nourish us, you know, the way we live, actually. No, making us living being, not just, you know, present being, but living being. Mm-hmm. And there is, it may be seen, or it's similar to how plants live. You know, they just present and alive, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
On the top of it, we have another, as if you would like, niche, which is maybe called animal, which the way we do things. So based on the physiology of fuel we get from our physiology and the present priorities and actually being grounded with our history, we do things. You know, we run, play, whatever. So on the top of it, we have a thinking apparatus. So ability to analyze, you know, and think, you know, having a wide thinking and narrow thinking, whatever. But this sort of independent thinking, that is thinking which is independent on our on what we know. It's, you know, but on the top of it, we have something which might be called royal thinking or independent thinking. It's like a king who can listen to all his ministers, but then make his own decision, the decision he's responsible for. So very often we, unfortunately, stay in this, sort of dependent thinking. And our thinking depends on, you know, other people or, which is tricky sometimes, our own stuff. But there is still dependent thinking. And this step from dependent to independent is a great, I mean, big step and very not easy to make. But what it does, it actually opens the door for us, I mean, each of us, to be responsible, really responsible for our life.
Mm-hmm.
So then on the top of it, we have another niche on nature, which we may be open to or may not. And that is about our potential, as I said before. I mean, potential is something which does not exist yet in our life. So many people, and I'm probably still sometimes like that, well, most of the time probably, but, well, I don't know. But anyway, many of us actually sort of close ourselves to this potential, you know, for many reasons. And then on the top of this, if, you know, if we reach our potential, which can be valued by us and others, and then on the top of it, we have this sort of potential possibility to change, but not civility, but it's called transfiguration. It means that every single level of you changing, your history changes, which sounds strange, but it does. Your body changes. Your sort of physiology and feeling changes. Your so the way you do things, or if you want, well, okay, the way you do things changes. The way you think changes. The way you sort of take responsibility changes. Well, your potential become different, so it's like sort of changes, because that's what sort of supposed to, that, so say you have some potential which you're supposed to have, but then now you may have even more than that. Mm-hmm. And then on the top of it, your whole life actually get transfigurated. But it's quite a, you know, high flying stuff. So we're living, you know, here now, and at this moment, my sort of the way I see this, it's about actually to let people not only know about this approach, but also to give him opportunity to experience it. And this experience might be, you know, small one, just something just touch you internally. You may not even understand it. For example, I mean, all over the world now, this, we all want to know, you know, we all want sort of to process it in the brain and understand and understand and understand and understand. But the trick of it is this, it put us, I'm not sure it's a very correct word to say, but English not my native language, so just one word I remember at the moment. It's like put us in a mental curse state. I mean, the state when our mind makes, like, works as the curse. So it doesn't allow us, curse, I mean, it's not sort of this, you know, spiritual and another meaning. The meaning of that, it just keeps you where you are.
It's like the mind traps you in a certain level and you doesn't allow you,
yes,
to reach the next level of your
yes,
evolution,
yes, yes,
of being. Yes,
it's just,
I understand.
Yeah, it's like saying, I'm a boss, I know that this is this, this and that, and you must stay here. So something like that, I mean.
Well, no, I think very many people feel that sense of being blocked in their lives. And like you said, what was interesting about where you started, where the medical profession and many healing modalities have a prescribed behavior or action or remedy in order to cure, but sometimes people can't see their way to process that cure. And so what you're talking about is that thing within each of us that is creating the block from what we need and what we know we need, but we can't seem to get what we need.
Well, I'll sort of rearrange it a little bit. So what actually happens, that say I'm a specialist or professional in, I don't know, acupuncture, for example, which I am actually. So someone, but I'm just acupuncturist. So someone come to me. So I will look on him through the eyes of acupuncture knowledge, through the eyes from acupuncture system, which is actually dependent view, again, like dependent thinking, which depends on this sort of perspective. Say I'm a medical doctor, which I'm also am. So you come to me in, you know, in clinic, and again I will look on you, but I will see and analyze your state through this sort of window of, you know, MD. So in both cases and many other cases, it will be the dependent thinking. And what's happened in this situation is that I give you a remedy, but I'm giving its remedy for you according to my knowledge, not your knowledge.
So that's very key.
That's a key. So, and that's good, it works. Mm-hmm. You know, I have statistics, you know, that's fine. I mean, I'm doing my best, there's nothing to sort of arguing about. But the key here is to allow you to tell me what I can do for you according to my skills and knowledge and whatever I have. So that's a real sort of, real, if you want, like we become real companions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key here. So all this dialogue, its dialogue approach, is actually based on the sort of something, I don't know how to call it, which build this sort of dialogue communication between me and a client, between me and, you know, I'm also working with, like, you know, I can work with businesses, you know, so if, you know, people come and they want to rearrange their business, you know, there's a company, so I can talk with CEO or, you know, the whole employee, so it depends, but the same with a human, you know, I'm talking either with your brain, you know, you come with whatever you sort of came with, but also there is a technique or methodology which allows us to communicate, say, with your bones, you know, with your feelings, with your body, you know, with your instincts. So it's, you know, it sounds sort of strange, but it's you know, actually it's very simple, just literally much easier one, you know that, Kathy,
yeah.
Right? One time to see rather than, you know, 10 times to explain.
Cloudy day for me. Since good luck came knocking at my door, skies are gray, but they're not gray anymore. Blue sky smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Two birds singing a song. Nothing but bluebirds all the day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. I noticed that the days are hurrying along. When you're in love, oh, how they're gone. Bluebirds, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies all the day long. Never saw the sun shine so bright.